You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're spending the hour meeting the new elected officials to lead public safety in Sacramento County. You just heard from District Attorney-elect Ten Ho. Now we move to Sacramento County's new sheriff. Jim Cooper is a familiar name in politics, a former Elk Grove mayor and now outgoing lawmaker at the state capitol. But Sacramento County Sheriff will be a homecoming of sorts for Cooper, who spent 3 decades serving the department and rose to the ranks of captain. Back in July, I sat down with Sacramento County Sheriff-elect Jim Cooper about how he will lead in this new era. You accomplished something that you first attempted more than a decade ago. You had a narrow loss to now Sheriff Scott Jones. But take us back to the moment when the race was called and it was cemented that you are now Sheriff-elect.
Surreal. It's different. Very humbling, very grateful for the voters that expressed the confidence in me. So it's still sinking in.
What do you think has changed since you first ran for sheriff back in 2010?
Just the whole climate's changed with the reforms, the demonstrations we saw. So I'm coming back to a very different sheriff's department than I left 8 years ago. So there is some adjustment on that. But being in the legislature, you've seen some of the issues firsthand, interacting and working with my colleagues. So it was good to get away and step back and get a different perspective.
In between 2010 and now, you were the mayor of Elk Grove. You obviously were in the state legislature, currently are an assembly member. How will that shape how you will sheriff Sacramento County?
I think experience, just that broad experience, 15 years building a city from the ground up, being a mayor and council member in Elk Grove, and then 8 years in the legislature. So I think when you combine that with law enforcement and being a person of color, it just brings everything to the table. It makes me more well-rounded.
I would imagine it widened your perspective of the collaboration that can take place between policy, elected officials, and law enforcement.
Yeah, and actually, that's a great point. I mean, we can agree to disagree, but we can be civil, we can be cordial, and, you know, you get that. You're kind of out of that echo chamber hearing your own self talk, so it's been good to be removed.
You campaigned on being a dramatic departure from your predecessor, Sheriff Jones. But in the spirit of having a smooth transition, have you guys been in communication with each other?
We've talked, and he talked about a transition, and hopefully that's going to come to fruition. I have every reason to believe it will happen versus not happening. So I'm excited to get back. A lot of good young men and women there that are working hard, but it's a different time.
You ran against the undersheriff, Jim Barnes, currently second in command. Have you had any communication now that you're going to be leading the department?
Yeah, I talked to him. He was very cordial. Me and Jim were friends before this, and I think we're going to remain friends. And it's tough. Elections are tough. They're not nice, and that's just the shape of things. But we're here. It's over, and now we want to work together. We all want what's best for the men and women of the sheriff's department as well as the community.
Going back to when you were within the sheriff's department, a deputy, all the way up to a captain, you have 3 decades of experience. You also served under 4 different sheriffs. How will that shape how you approach this job and this position?
Take a little bit of everything, and that's what I've always done my entire life. You take the good things that you see from people you work for and you respect, and you kind of combine it together. So I'm kind of a hodgepodge of those different sheriffs and people I've been around my entire life, including my parents.
When we last had you on, this was before for the primary, I asked if becoming the first African-American sheriff would be a headline or more meaningful to you. And you had said it was just a headline because you want to be a sheriff for everyone. But I'm curious, given that you're going to be the first black sheriff in the county's 170-year history, will that bring a different perspective?
Well, I think so. I mean, obviously, I've lived in Sacramento my entire life. But being a person of color, you bring a different perspective because you have different experiences, a different background. So I think that's what helps me and shapes me in being a more well-rounded person and understanding some of the issues out there in the community.
Do you think the margin of error is going to be different for you or the expectations?
I think it's going to be higher. And that's one of the unfortunate things. We saw that with Dan Hahn. People expected a lot. And law enforcement's a tough job to do. And you're really dealing with some, at times, horrific things. So a lot of folks don't understand that. So the bar is set very high, and the honeymoon will be over very quickly.
When you're talking about Daniel Hahn, who was the police chief of Sacramento, City of Sacramento Police Department, he just retired. When I interviewed him in the past, he talked about loving being a black man, but also loving wearing a badge and being a law enforcement officer. And this is a time when the word intersection gets right. brought up a lot. Did you ever experience an internal conflict between your race and serving as a deputy?
Well, it's tough times, and at times, I should say, but and folks need to realize that. But I think it makes you a better person overall because you're dealing with adversity. And it really just helps shape you and mold you. So I think I'm fortunate in some regards.
Do you think the culture of law enforcement has changed since you were part of the sheriff's department?
It has changed dramatically for some good portions and some not so good portions. And that's the thing folks don't realize. Right now, the number one issue is homelessness, and crime is right behind that. That's a big issue. A lot of folks don't feel safe. And it's really not fear mongering. We've seen the statistics of what's gone on with that. And violent crime is up. So it's really balancing that. And the big thing is we want to have better reforms in that. We've had some good reforms and some not so good reforms. Mental illness is a big issue that we're dealing with right now. A lot of folks don't want to address the issue and be the adult in the room. You know, the governor's starting that conversation. I do want to be the adult in the room and make the hard decisions.
What is the sheriff's role in mental health?
Well, I think we're dealing with a lot of folks that we have in custody at the jail that don't belong in jail. But on the other hand, if someone's mentally ill, there are some folks out there that are okay with them walking around unclothed, eating out of a trash can because they have their freedom. And we've got to get some of these folks the help they need. And that's being the adult, maybe taking charge of them. Mm-hmm. And we need that. We need conservatorships. No one wants to talk about conservatorships. And you see the issues on the bike trail, the homicides, the young lady killed in Rancho Cordova. It's a problem that we've got to address and take care of our most gravely mentally ill individuals out there and get them help.
As a candidate, you did talk about this. You said that the sheriff's office has an immense amount of authority when it comes to the American River Parkway to address the crimes that have been happening within homeless encampments. But you also pledged when you take office to increase patrols along the parkway, but in tandem with mental health service providers. Walk us through how these patrols will be conducted.
I think the big thing, people want to feel safe on the bike trail. I grew up in Rancho Cordova. I spent every summer on that bike trail, and I love it. The public loves it. And we've got to make sure it's safe. There's a lot of crime out there. There has been because of the homeless. Not everyone involved that's homeless is involved in crime, but there have been some crime issues. The murder I said earlier in Rancho Cordova. And people want to feel safe. The fires, over 100 fires, have happened on the bike trail. Think about the immense amount of resources that have been spent out there for the past 2 or 3 years in dealing with that and other issues. A lot of sexual assaults amongst homeless on homeless and a number of murders involving the homeless on homeless. I think upwards of 9 murders. So it's really being engaged because some folks do want help. They want to get off there and they want to change their lives and get back into supportive housing. But no one can tell you which portion wants to do that, which portion are too mentally ill to make that decision for themselves, and which portion don't want any help at all. There's no one in the state or in this county that can break it down for the voters and how do we fix that. And the public is, they're fed up. They want something done. They want it addressed. Like I said, being homeless is not a crime, but you still have to obey the laws.
Given that you are at the state capitol and there are numerous amounts of pieces of legislation and now laws devoted to this issue, as well as millions of dollars to curb and resolve the crisis of homelessness, when you're at the capitol, if you can help unpack this for people, what is falling short? When have you been frustrated?
I've been frustrated since day one. So we've spent over $20 billion on homelessness, and a lot of it has been towards housing. It's been housing, housing, housing. Well, if you're mentally ill, you can't make those decisions. Some folks don't want to. So to me, they talk about wraparound services, complete services. It's been light on the mental health aspect, and it's been light on the substance abuse aspect. Because if, like I said, if you've got a house and a job, it's tough getting off drugs, let alone if you're homeless. So those are really two big issues I've seen in law enforcement and have extensive experience on the substance abuse part that we've got to fix those. You know, if I skin my knee, I go to med clinic. If I'm having a mental health breakdown, where do I go? If I want to get clean from drugs, where do I go? And drugs are very powerful. Look at the fentanyl epidemic. Who would want to take fentanyl with all the deaths? People are still doing fentanyl.
You touched upon the county jail. Cap Radio news anchor Randall White, he spoke with Mayor Steinberg about the safety in downtown Sacramento, and the mayor mentioned that he looks forward to working with you regarding policies involving the county jail. We're going to play a small clip about what he said.
We are not a health and human services agency. The county of Sacramento is, and I'm looking forward to the new sheriff, Jim Cooper, to come in specifically on the jail release issues, because That is an area where our downtown needs relief. We cannot have people being released from jail at all hours of the day and night without any services. And I'm looking forward to working with Sheriff-elect Cooper on some new protocols that make sure that there are warm handoffs.
So obviously your relationship with Mayor Steinberg is not new. You guys work and collaborate with each other, and you're not sheriff yet. But what conversations have you already started having with the mayor and elected officials? And what are these new protocols possibly?
Well, I've had conversations with the mayor and also the downtown partnership. A piece of the problem is from inmates released at the jail. Obviously, if you're booked into jail, you have to be released within so many hours. So really ensuring these folks get back to where they came from. If they can't get a ride from family, and working on Uber, maybe the county transporting them, but I think we owe it. And that's working with the other law enforcement agencies that booked them in the first place. So to me, there's a lot of middle ground there where we can try and fix that and make sure they get back home. And that's important. That jail books in about 55,000 people a year, and the vast majority go in and go out. Their capacity is only 2,500 inmates. So that's a far cry.
Yeah.
But it's a fixable problem.
And another issue in downtown, we've had two mass shootings within 3 months. We've had three mass shootings in Sacramento County total when taking in the shootings in downtown Sacramento, which were deadly. Gun violence is a countywide problem. The county saw a 51% increase in gun deaths between 2018 and 2021. What's your role in reducing gun violence?
To go out there and deal with the problem people. And in the situation downtown on K Street, all those individuals are prohibited from carrying guns. They carry them anyways. So that enforcement arm, you need that out there to deal with these folks. And it's a problem. It's very pervasive. You know, how do you deal with it? You got to work in the community. You got to reach our kids early on because some of these kids emulate these folks and see them around the neighborhood. And we've got to change that narrative. And that's really getting involved in those neighborhoods. And it comes back. Think about our most blighted neighborhoods. What do they have in common? Underperforming schools, no banks, no supermarkets, no sports programs or arts programs for kids. So we need to change that. And then also the laws are very laxed right now. You know, I've tried to pass legislation in the legislature to address these individuals, the violent individuals, where if you're carrying a gun, you're going to be held accountable. They don't want to do that. And those folks that are on the other end know that there is not a lot of accountability right now. You're not going to get in trouble. It's a misdemeanor. That's the same as doing a lawn job or, you know, vandalizing something.
As sheriff, you oversee concealed carry permits. Do you expect or anticipate those changing when you become sheriff in January?
No, I'll take a look at it. I think the best thing we can do is robust background checks, and they do a really good job of going into that. If you look at it, some folks, well, you shouldn't have guns, but they can't really point to anything where a permittee for a CCW has been involved in something serious. That just hasn't happened. The numbers aren't out there. And some folks feel unsafe right now.
Another issue when it comes to this are ghost guns. Where is there a realistic solution to curbing the growing number of ghost guns that law enforcement has talked about?
I actually had the governor, it was under Governor Brown, sign a ghost gun bill. Since then, no ghost gun bills have been signed. And that's the thing that folks, a ghost gun is a gun that doesn't have a serial number. You can manufacture it on a 3D printer. And we're seeing that happen. And we're seeing these guns end up in the hands of gang members and drug dealers. And we just passed a bill in the assembly that obviously dealt with that issue. But once again, instead of making it a felony, they made it a misdemeanor. You're not going to go to county jail for a misdemeanor or spend time in that. You have to have teeth in those laws. And that's been the big issue with that. And that's been my frustration as an assemblyman is the ghost guns we know cause an inordinate amount of damage to people's lives. They make those that manufacture them or possess them liable, punish them.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Sacramento County Sheriff-elect Jim Cooper. You mentioned transparency in law enforcement when you were campaigning for sheriff, and this touches upon the state capitol. And you're saying that was a key issue among voters that your campaign really honed in on. So now that you have been elected, how do you plan to achieve more transparency within the sheriff's department?
Number one, working with the inspector general. That's a person that's chosen by the county, the department, and the unions to come in and really take a look at the sheriff's department. What are we doing good and what can we work on? And that's so important. The last one was fired. That's not good for anybody. And really reaching out to the community, those community groups, I started that already. And for a long time, that relationship has not been there. So it's going to be there where I'm going to have a relationship with these folks and not just when bad things happen. You want to have it during the good times too and really work. And my passions are youth. I mean, that's the important thing. You only have so much capacity, and we've got to do more for our kids to make them, to give them a good life. Because I'll tell you what, no kid desires to go be a gang member or a drug dealer. That's the environment they're in. And I'll tell you what, a lot of kids' lives would be very different if they were exposed to something else.
The Sacramento County Sheriff's Association, which is the union that represents 1,500 deputies and employees at the office, they endorse your opponent, Under Sheriff Jim Barnes. How do you plan to build relationships with those in your department who didn't vote for you?
So I've been gone 8 years. A lot of new young women and men have come in, so it's a different, and they don't know me. I understand that. So really work with them. I've been engaged with the association even now. I was over there last week talking to those folks and, you know, finding out what their issues are and what their concerns are and telling them my concerns and how I want to be a better partner with the community. So I think it's just having those open lines of communication and not leaving anything to chance. I think when we communicate better, we all benefit in the end. And that's probably the most important thing, communication.
What were their issues and concerns that resonated with you?
It's tough. I'll tell you what's different now is the PTSD. So it's a very different world. When I came through 30 years ago, when I first started, no one talked about that. So it's a different time. They've had a number of officers killed here. And it was interesting because I'm from the live-to-work generation versus these young folks these days work to live. They value their time off with their family, rightly so. So it's just a different mindset here. And you're dealing with that and talking about feelings openly, where back in the day, no one did. So, you know, I've got to reset some things in my mode of thinking and how I operate.
This is also the start of a new era. I mean, you're not only going to become the new Sacramento County Sheriff, but we're going to have a new district attorney as well, Tien Ho, who is currently the Assistant Chief Deputy DA. Have you two started communicating or working with each other?
Actually, we have. I think he's a great guy. He's going to be great for Sacramento County. He's passionate. His story is amazing to come over here, to get it to America, and it's the American dream. And he's passionate about what he does. He's prosecuted a lot of high-profile cases here in Sacramento, and I think we're in good hands.
How do you think this new dynamic with you and DA-elect Tien Ho will meet the needs of public safety in 2022 and the years to come?
It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge, and I think we're up for it. But we have to realize is it took us a long time to get to this place we are, and things don't change overnight. So I think we'll work with folks. Some folks will be disappointed. Some folks will be happy. But I think it's going to be changed for the good. I think overall it's going to improve the Sacramento County just for everyone.
When we first talked in May, when you were running for sheriff, you had claimed that the sheriff's office was down 140 officers and that low staffing depletes services, reduces response times, leads to more crimes. You told us in May that you would cast a wider net to recruit more deputies. What does that look like in not only hiring, but retaining officers?
Well, Sac State has a great program and the sheriff's department is just getting involved in it now. So through the budget process, I was able to secure $850,000 for the law enforcement candidates class for Sac State, specifically for law enforcement officers. So drop on our local homegrown candidates from Sac State that want to come work for the sheriff's department. I think they're down to probably 100 vacancies now. And really reach out to those kids, those men and women, I call them kids, men and women out there that want a career in law enforcement. It's a great career. It's an honorable career. It's different from anything else you're going to do. And I think going out there and casting a wider net to get those folks and really be engaged and go out as a sheriff and address some of these individuals. I'm going to be a recruiter. I want to have the best men and women I have in the department as recruiters out there and really push it. Because right now, the department does not have a full-time recruiter. SACPD has 6. The sheriff's department has 0. They have folks that do it, but that's not their full-time job. It's an ancillary duty.
In May, we also talked about police reform, and that is another issue that has grown exponentially in recent years. And you responded in part by saying some of the reforms passed were good, some were bad, others were in a vacuum. And you believe part of the reason we're seeing a rise in violent crimes is because of some of those laws that were passed, which you believe ended up hurting the criminal justice system. As a legislator who will soon become sheriff, how will you uphold some of the reforms that you disagree with?
The law is law. I'm going to enforce law and uphold the law no matter whether I agree or disagree with it. I think being the sheriff of the capital city, I'm going to be down testifying. I've got relationships and colleagues now. I'll be working with those folks to really be engaged because you're sitting right here. You're close to the capital. And to me, I'm going to have a robust legislative unit. And you've got to be involved and come down there and tell the real stories, what's happening, because we don't hear that enough in those hearings.
There's also research being devoted to police reform and racial disparities. The Public Policy Institute of California back in 2021 found that 6 out of 10 Californians believe the criminal justice system is biased against African Americans. Given that you've walked and breathed both as an African American and as a law enforcement officer, what does that mean to you?
Well, there are some biases out there. But I'll tell you one thing that it comes back to me, it comes back to those areas that are underserved. Look around the region, they've invested a lot of money heavily in areas where other areas have been untouched. They've been that way for 30, 40, 50 years. And that's really the main issue, investment in those areas. That's where you change it. That's the game changer. But like I said, look around. And I worked out there 30 years ago, 35 years ago. The same issues are going on. Why haven't we revitalized those areas, improved those schools, improved the parks, recreation, foods, banks? That's the big issue. That's the bigger issue. And it's all about money.
When it comes to protests and demonstrations, how do you view them within Sacramento County? I mean, just recently following the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe versus Wade, I mean, I understand this is a response that falls both on city police, county sheriff, and even CHP, because in that instance, demonstrators stormed onto I-5 and blocked a portion, you know, in downtown Sacramento. What is the right way to respond?
The big thing is it's okay to protest, but you have to stay within the law. You can't vandalize property or destroy people's property. And the freeway, being on the freeway is unsafe, number one, for pedestrians. That doesn't help anyone. It impacts a lot of people. We understand the frustration with the protesters and where they're going. And some of us share their frustration. But it has to be done peacefully in the correct way. And as a sheriff, you've got to balance that. But the bottom line is you have to protect the public.
We're talking about a slew of issues and challenges that you were critical of when you ran for sheriff. Those criticisms are now challenges that you need to overcome. What do you envision as your biggest challenge in your first year as sheriff?
I think number one is getting folks hired, bringing in those officers, because they're on mandatory overtime right now. So that's tough. You're working in 12-hour shifts or 10-hour shifts, and you're being forced to work overtime. You've got to change that. And I heard a lot of folks, and during my sounding sessions or walking around the county and talking to folks, the bike trail, they were concerned about that. That was a big issue for a lot of folks out there, and they want that dealt with, you know, in a compassionate way. So, and really relationships, that's the big thing. They haven't been the best going back and meeting with folks, with the board, having a relationship with the Board of Supervisors, local city council members, working with other county agencies, because you can't police your way out of this, our issues. You've got to be a good team member and work with everybody else. And that's really, it's about relationships.
How do you appeal and make that pitch to become a law enforcement officer in today's climate?
It's tough. I mean, you work odd hours, you work weekends and holidays, you deal with people at their worst sometimes, and it's tough. And that will bear with you your entire life. But it's a satisfying job. You can help people. You see the best and the worst, but you're outside, you're doing so many different things. You can change jobs every 2 or 3 years. So I loved it. I did 30 years of it. I'm back for more, and it's an honorable career. It's a tough career, but you're making a difference in people's lives. So that's probably been my biggest satisfaction.
That was my conversation with Sacramento County Sheriff-elect Jim Cooper, who will be sworn in this coming January. Our conversation first aired in July. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.